It's time to fire it up.
Why you gotta make me feel inferior? Because I'm on the
From the chop.
Food for action.
To the gear.
It's 122,000 BTUs of char broiling power.
To the drinks.
Drink some beers.
These guys have you covered.
We're just kicking back out here. Just having a barbecue.
This is the Grilling Guys.
Good morning. Welcome. You're listening to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Hey, we appreciate you tuning in each and every week. And we are on Easter weekend, and I had a Good Friday off. My company observes that holiday, so I had a good Friday just plinking around the house and kind of getting that spring fever where you got to clean some stuff up, rake this and do that, and but also getting ready to do my Easter dinner. So I think we're going to talk a little bit about that today. But I'm Jop, and he's Barbecue Bob. What's cooking, baby?
Hey, thanks. Yeah, and good morning, but also good evening, depending on where you're listening. Because we have some broadcasts in the afternoon. So wherever you are, thanks for taking a minute to listen to us bobbleheads. Before I forget.
Did you say bowel or bobble?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Before I forget, I want to give a little shout out to a fellow named Mark Morgan, who's a big fan of the show, a retired Wolverine Worldwide executive, traveled the world, and a huge fan of the show. I know he listens all the time, and I met him at Sobeys.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of good things that happen at Sobeys.
You don't know who you're going to run into there.
Right.
It's tax time, so it's that stinking time of the year.
Yep.
I can't stand to do taxes. It seems like it gets harder every year.
Yeah. Good news for you, they're done.
Good.
I don't have them yet. I was struggling with technology of passwords and logins and double super secret portals. And you know, when you're getting financial information electronically, they make it next to impossible for the guy who's supposed to get it to be able to get it, let alone the criminal. So, but anyway, no, so I'll have that for you later today. Our friends down at Stonehenge Consulting have come through again, so we're ready to go.
Great. Yeah. You know, I'm an asparagus fan. And it's been on sale recently.
I don't know why.
Probably
either.
From out of state.
Well, heck yeah, it's got to be.
It's been cheap, and so I've been buying it, and trying to find different ways to make it. I told you that chicken and wine sauce with it, and different things. But I tried just making some wine sauce for the asparagus, and it wasn't really what I wanted. So I took it instead, and I opened up one of those jars of venison. I canned that venison.
Yep.
And I kind of made a stroganoff, a single dish out of it. And, oh, my gosh.
That venison. Asparagus stroganoff with venison.
Yeah.
All right.
That meat turned out so good.
Yeah.
If you've never canned venison, pay attention to it this year if you're out there in the woods hunting for Bambi.
What's different about it?
For one thing, it's so tender, it's ridiculous.
Right.
And this deer was tender anyway. I told you when I canned it, I ate half of it just trying to get it in the bottles.
Right.
But I also took some of that beef seasoning that Sobe sold me, and I made like an au jus.
Beef rub, yeah.
An au jus for it, and put coarse carrots, onions and garlic in it, and oh, it's just so good.
Yep, and you pour that sauce over the chunks of venison that were cooked.
In the jar.
Yep.
You saute them, you put them in the jar, and then you pour a broth over them. And I used my, I think it's called an Instapot pressure cooker, and did like an hour and a half. You're supposed to do them for like a ridiculous 3 hours or something. I don't know, but.
Yeah. But you'd saute them before they went in there.
My mother used to do them. And when I was in college, that was great food when I was sick of peanut butter and jelly because it was meat.
Yeah.
But I am doing Rob Russell's Perfect Ham every time on Easter Day tomorrow.
Right. I'm going to be trying that too.
Nice.
Yeah.
Well, maybe we'll do a photo comparison.
Well, you know, if my camera works. I'll have to tell you if it turned out first, and then you'll see a picture of it or not.
Yeah, my camera broke.
Right,
because it's on your phone.
Damn iPhone. Yeah.
Well, we do miss our Robbie Russell. He was a valuable friend and a loving, caring person.
Yeah, so we'll cover that recipe a little later in the show because it is a good one. It's not terribly difficult. You don't need to have a pencil and paper because it is on thegrillingguys.com.
Yeah, it is.
So you can look
it
up.
It's been on for 10 years.
Right.
I'm, you know, this gardening thing is really catching on everywhere. Everybody I talk to is either building raised bed gardens or tilling up a bigger piece and fencing in and all this stuff. And I'm right there with them. I'm going to expand the size of garden I do this year because last year it was nice. It was probably one of the better ones I've ever done, but it was very small.
Yeah.
And so I'm going to try and stage things so that I have different products coming in at different times. And
yeah, well, some of them, I mean, that's the thing with a garden is you get a series of vegetables, but the one that always kills me is the tomatoes, which they always come in like August, and you get bushels.
Well,
and those things just produce.
But there's a great point. We're talking about canning venison.
Right.
Can your tomatoes.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. You got to can it all or freeze it or blanch it or do something with it because it's plentiful when it hits.
You do have to blanch them before you can them.
Yep.
I did some salsa last year, and I don't know what I did wrong, but they didn't seal.
Oh.
So I'm down about 4 to 6 weeks later to get a jar because I was dying to eat it because it was so good fresh.
Right.
That was when I roasted all those vegetables on the smoker, and it was like probably the best salsa I ever made. And there was mold growing in them.
Yeah.
So I had to dump them all out. It was very heartbreaking. So pay close attention to your canning instructions. I'm not quite sure where I failed there, but it was disappointing.
So we're going to cover some side dishes too for Easter.
Good, yeah. Your assignment was deviled eggs.
Yeah, you know, for as many eggs there are in a dozen, there's that many recipes and then some. But
everybody loves deviled eggs,
yeah,
though. Even people that don't seem to like eggs,
right?
You see them hitting the deviled egg tray.
Yeah, and it isn't just for Easter anymore. I mean, I guess you throw them out in the yard, and the kids will, you know, go out and fetch them and have a little bit of fun with that. And then
deviled eggs?
Well, no, but you devil them after they get the hard-boiled ones back in the house. Yeah, and you're coloring them and all that other stuff. It's been a long time since I've done that, but my grandson turns one on Easter. Just happened to be this year, the 31st. So I'm sure in my future there are some egg colorings for the next few years as we go through this, but I bet it's been 25 years since I've colored an egg, you know, and it's kind of fun, you know, I guess.
Sure.
You know, you get on there with a crayon, and then the coloring doesn't stick where the crayon is.
Paz. Remember Paz, P-A-A-S?
Yeah, I remember him.
No, it's the...
He was married to my mom.
It was the company that made the Easter egg
coloring
stuff.
Yeah.
Coloring stuff.
Yeah.
Oh,
it said Paz on.
The
little kit.
Yeah, the
little
wire.
Yellow box, the wire, and the little holder where you set them in there. Yeah, I got that. I bet those are still around.
Sure.
Yeah.
Man, there's a little trivia.
Yeah, you might be able
to... Look who woke up.
Right. That sounds like a dollar store, or wait, it's a buck and a quarter store now, item, where you'd find something like that. But, yeah, I remember doing that.
Oh, yeah, that was so much fun.
Yeah, right.
Until you get a bunch of kids, and then you got to do a whole bunch of them every year.
I'm surprised you're not doing it. You got a whole team of grandkids.
No, we trained our kids well. They're doing their own.
Oh, okay, yeah. They don't come to Papa.
Man, crabby Easter boy over here, isn't he?
Right, yeah.
Well, we've actually got a couple of our grandkids for the weekend, so... We'll see when I get home.
Yeah, well,
the missus has.
Maureen's so tightly tuned into the show, so I'm sure she'll have it ready when you get back.
She's not even out of bed yet. No, she is actually because the girls get up at
careful.
7.
Oh yeah, careful
girls
now.
Get up at 7. So
yeah, yep, it happens.
Yeah, we have a lot of fun with sleepovers.
Yep,
and the parents love it.
Yeah,
because they get a break.
Sure, why not? I mean, but Easter's a fun time. Remember the reason for the season. And we're all hit our little service in the morning. Most churches have 3 or 4 this time of year.
And, for all the Keisters.
Right, yeah, exactly. But Lisa and I are greeting at the door for one of the services. So we always go to one and greet at one. So, that's the way that works. But.
So did they come in anyway after they see you?
Yeah, Conrad. Because generally they're committed. They're out of their car and they're at the door already. So... It's hard to turn them away.
Don't look them in the eye.
Right, yeah.
Bouncer at the door.
Right.
Have your IDs ready, please.
Oh, he ate garlic again.
Right. Coming out the other end because he ate too many eggs. But
anyway.
Jeez.
Coming up next, speaking of eggs, we're going to talk about some deviled egg recipes. This is, must-listen radio because...
Yeah, you got me hooked now.
Yeah. As I research deviled eggs... There's about two different ingredients in every recipe, and the other ones are the same. You're listening to Grilling Guys. Stick with us. We'll be back.
Fen Valley Vineyards, located on the shores of Lake Michigan in Fenville, Michigan, 45 minutes south of Grand Rapids. It's one of the most beautiful, most picturesque vineyards in North America. This family's been making wine for over 40 years. You have to bring your friends and family to the tasting room and experience pure Michigan wine, Fen Valley Vineyards.
Hi, this is Shasta with Old World Olive Company. I want to personally invite you to visit one of our tasting rooms and sample any one of our certified extra virgin olive oils or aged balsamic vinegars. My knowledgeable staff can show you hundreds of pairing combinations. We also offer seasonings, tapenades, and specialty wines to complete your meal. So please, step into my kitchen and make a lasting memory of your own. Or you can visit us at theoldworldoliveco.com.
With the Grilling Guys coming at you like a pit bull. We smoke butt, and it's a mitful. Backyard masters, barbecue blasters. Nobody smokes a T-bone faster. So when you see the Grilling Guy rake, hit the brakes, it's going to be big. Stick around and put down the rake. Fire up your grill, there's no need.
Welcome back. You listen to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Hope you're up out of bed and getting ready to get out there and create a little grill envy in your neighborhood this weekend. This is Easter weekend, and you know, there's a lot of good reasons to get a smoker or a grill, even a boiler out if you're going to do a turkey. Some people do turkey. That's not traditional. Hams are. And later in the show, Bob's going to talk about a ham recipe. But
we're not boiling it.
Right. Exactly. You could a turkey, though. But anyway, Bob said, hey, Jop, why don't you do deviled eggs? I love deviled eggs. They're most every family gathering that we have. There's a tray of deviled eggs. There's two reasons. One, I like them, but two, it's a cheap appetizer. Maybe not so much anymore, but it used to be.
Do you buy like Eglin's Best eggs?
No.
I love those.
Do you?
Yeah.
And I
or
guess,
Farm Fresh if you can get them.
Yeah.
Because the yolks are gorgeous.
Right.
But when you get these bulk eggs, they're kind of boring.
Yeah.
There is a difference.
Yeah, there is. And we go through enough of them that I buy them wherever I'm at. You know, I don't go around and buy $4 a dozen eggs. I buy the cheap eggs that I can, you know.
$4.59 for a dozen and a half.
Yeah,
it's
right.
Not that bad,
no.
Choppy.
Actually, speaking of eggs, it was going to be part of this, so now it is. We're members of the Moose Lodge in Wyoming.
And you're the Grand Poobah?
No, I'm not anything there, and that's the way it's going to stay. But there are the people that supply eggs to the moose bring the extra size ones. They're culled out. A lot of them have double yolks.
Oh, nice!
And they'll bring you.
Twins.
They'll bring you. But listen, this is the steal of the deal. They come in on Wednesdays is when the eggs come in for the place, and they always bring trays of these extra. And people know it, and they're there. Right at 5 o'clock to pick up these eggs, it's $3 for 30 eggs, and they're like pterodactyl eggs. They're big ones. That
so
have been,
if they're twins, is that like maternal twins?
I don't know.
I think so.
I've never hatched them. All I've ever done is cook them. But
wow.
Hey, how about egg boiling techniques? Research that?
Yes, I have.
My wife has it perfected, and
I do
now
too.
I do it.
You don't grill them?
You get a big pot of water to a rolling boil.
Right.
And then you take your tongs and you drop them in gently in that boiling water, and exactly 14 minutes, you pull them off and you ice them.
Right. That and the only thing
then
that
they don't turn black.
The only thing that I do different than that is I add salt to the water, because what it does is that impacts the shell and it makes them peel easier.
Really?
Yeah.
Another tip.
There you go.
Wow.
So
it's
but
Boiling Guys on Jethro FM.
The things you learned on this show.
That's right. But where I'm going
take
is,
them to
is
my
that
grave.
I think the biggest thing that is in that little tip right there is the ice bath. They're coming right out of the boiling water into an ice bath. Whatever that does, it breaks that membrane away from the egg.
Well, no, it could be, but what I understand is the flash going in is the big key. But what I understand is the ice cools them down quickly so they don't keep cooking.
Right.
Because if they keep cooking, that's when you get that black around them.
Right. Yeah. Yep. So good tips there.
Ruins
you know,
the deviled egg.
You know, as I was looking at these deviled egg recipes, there was always instructions with them. One of them, you made the boiled egg in the air fryer. It was a dry cooked egg in the shell, not in water.
Hmm.
Haven't tried it. Can't speak to the effectiveness of it, but the recipe indicated that you could do it in an air fryer. And I'm like, that's just wrong.
No.
I'm not doing that.
No.
No. I mean, maybe.
Be worth a try.
Yeah, right. You know, we can get one of those $4 a dozen of yours, and then we'll give those a try and see if we're busting up 50 centers or not. But
I'm hoping Eglin's Best will come on as a sponsor. So
right.
Don't blow
up. Okay. Yeah, don't blow up. Right, yeah. They're just eggs, right? But anyway, so.
Well, there's a marketing slogan right there, just eggs.
Right. So lots of different things you can put in an egg. Here's the funny part about this research that I did, is that every one of these deviled egg has mayonnaise, mustard, and eggs in it. Imagine that. But then I guess that's the foundation for a deviled egg recipe, and then you go from there.
But see, that whole boiling thing I think is important for deviled eggs, because when you're trying to process them, you really need that shell to come off nicely.
Oh, yeah.
Because if you destroy them, you're losing your little cup,
right.
You know?
Yeah.
I find that I have a cutting board that I kind of like get a little indentation on the egg, and I roll them around in that, and I put them back in the water and get some cracks in there. Then the water tends to get underneath the shell, and then they pop right off.
Yeah, well, that's a lot of work.
It's a lot of technology there.
Right.
Okay?
So the other thing is cutting them in half is I take a long bladed knife and I roll the egg up the knife blade so I don't cut into the yolk, and it just goes down and touches the yolk. And when you open it up, the yolk is whole, and it's nice. Now, when you make deviled eggs, my issue always is I like a lot of the yolk sauce, where all the flavor is, right, in the egg. So I always run out of the yolk sauce before I run out of cups, because I overfill the egg.
Oh.
Right? So what I usually do is my Labrador really likes egg white. So I'll cook a dozen eggs and only take 10 of the eggs to make the deviled eggs with,
she hasn't
and give the
figured
other two.
Out, she hasn't figured out that you're screwing her yet.
No,
not giving her the whole egg.
No, she's
you know
good.
What my best girl does is she takes all that yellow composite, your mixture, and she puts it in a pastry bag.
Sure.
And she squirts it in real fancy like.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I
and
don't.
And sprinkles paprika on it.
Yep. Right. Well,
pretty,
there you go. Okay.
Pretty.
We're done with the segment then, because that's all it takes to make deviled eggs.
No.
We described it.
No. You've got a whole bunch of variations.
I do.
No, we got
so,
2 more minutes we of eggs
hear
to
it.
Fill.
So,
yeah.
So if you're a grilling guy, 99.9% of you like bacon.
Exactly.
Right. So bacon, cheddar, deviled eggs, just what it sounds. Make your deviled egg mix. Put in, take 3 or 4 slices. Chop it up real crumbly, like, or overcook it a little bit and get it crumbly. And then you get some finely shredded cheddar cheese. Mix that into the yolk mix. And then put it in your piping bag. And then squeeze it on there. Or I do it with a fork.
I would probably recommend taking those bacon bits and sprinkling them over the top.
Well,
so it looks good.
Yeah, but then it's a mess and it gets on the white part, and you know, I mean,
I'm a mess anyway.
Yeah, I understand. But then my wife Lisa is an avocado nut. She loves avocado on anything. So we've got an avocado bacon stuffed eggs. Okay, same thing.
Now that's over the line.
Right.
Yeah, that's too much for you.
But the crumbled bacon and then a halved avocado, and you mash that up and mix it in. So you get a little bit of green color in your egg. You got to explain it to your
guests.
Well,
if you did a little jalapeno and tomato in there, you'd have kind of a guacamole.
Quit jumping ahead.
You'd have a guacamole.
I'm building this story up, dude. I start with the bacon. I add some avocado. He always has to go to the punchline.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, you're really going to do that?
Well, yeah, come on. Who you think I am, right? But anyway, moving along. But no, with the avocado and the bacon, I there's a splash of lime juice and a little bit of red pepper flake.
Ooh, that sounds nice.
Yeah, just to make it a little bazingy.
I love avocado, too.
Yeah.
You avocado fan?
Right, I'm okay.
We are talking about deviled eggs, right?
Yeah, right.
Well,
this is a little,
maybe a Southwestern deviled.
Are we overthinking it?
Maybe a Southwestern deviled egg. My girlfriend, when I lived in Hawaii, my girlfriend used to make me avocado sandwiches.
Yeah.
I hated them until I loved them.
Right. Well, it was a means to an end. All puns intended.
It was all worth it.
Yeah, right. enough about the deviled eggs. We may throw one or two at you later in the show, but you're listening to Grilling Guys. Stick with us. We'll be back.
Barbecue Bob for Garrett's Appliance. Lots of folks are remodeling, and if you are, you owe it to yourself to go to Garrett's Appliance. They made my kitchen the perfect example of elegant and functional. Visit either location, 29th Street in Kentwood or 28th Street in Wyoming. Garrett's Appliance also has a super lineup of patio kitchen equipment, and you can count on their design team for a perfect outdoor grilling area. Visit garrettsappliances.com. That's garrettsappliances.com.
Now hit me.
Oh, yeah. The Grillin' Guys.
Welcome back. You listen to Egg Guys on the Grillin' Guys Network. But anyway, there's a lot more recipes, but you have access to Google just like I do. So get after it and enjoy your deviled eggs this Easter season. But anyway, on to the next
entree.
Don't
you have some sort of egg joke you can make?
I'm struggling, man. I'm struggling with it. But onto the center of the plate, Bob. Take it away.
Yes, Robbie Russell, Cowboy Rob, had this, and I wish I could hear him give you this recipe because he had that Ozark accent. And anyway, it calls for a 6-pound ham. It's on thegrillingguys.com. If you go to our website and look at the top right side, you'll see a search bar. Put in whatever words you're looking for, especially eggs, and it'll pop up dozens of recipes. But if you put in the one for ham, there's so many ham recipes. He called this perfect ham every time. So you got to put in the perfect ham to avoid the other 5 pages of ham recipes.
Apparently we like to eat ham around the Grilling Guys.
Well, my partner's Dutch.
Yeah.
So
right.
The Hollanders.
Well, you're the only one of us that worked in a factory and dropped them on the floor.
And it was
on
a
purpose.
Dutch factory.
Right. You dropped them on the floor on purpose so you could rinse them off and take them home.
Good memory. So anyway, you get this 6-pound ham or bigger, a cup of pineapple juice, some chicken stock, some honey, vegetable oil, black pepper, paprika, sugar, salt, dry mustard, cayenne, and ground cloves. So the
ground cloves.
Yeah.
Okay.
The night before you smoke or bake the ham, mix up this sauce and a teaspoon of dry mustard and cayenne. Massage it over your ham, okay?
Talk nice to it while you're doing it.
You might want to
break in the background.
You might want a cocktail when you're
right. Dimly lit.
God, it's off the rails. Rob loved grapeseed oil.
Oh yeah.
So he'd
There's
always
no
say,
flavor to it. That's why.
He'd say you have to rub grapeseed oil into it. So I don't know. Maybe that was some kind of thing he had. I don't know.
Right.
Anyway, you wrap it in plastic and store it in the refrigerator for up to 12 hours.
Yeah.
Before you begin cooking it, unwrap it, of course, and let it rest on the counter for an hour.
To try to get to room temperature. It's
yes.
A big, dense piece of meat. It probably won't, but part of it will.
Smoke it at 210 for 6 hours. Now, I'm going to tell you, you can get it done in 3. If you let it warm up enough, you can have that thing done in 3 hours.
Still at 210?
Yep.
Okay. And the key there is you don't want to cook it. You're trying to warm it.
Yeah, it's already cooked.
And get a little smoke on it. And with that marinade, I guess is what we'd call it,
mm-hmm.
on the outside, it's gonna accept some smoke.
So for a mop, you're going to mix the chicken stock with the pineapple juice, vegetable oil, and dry mustard and cloves. And you're going to warm that up, and you're going to baste it. You're going to mop it, okay, every 30 minutes.
So he's doing 6 hours, so he's going to mop it a few times.
So he has a recipe for a glaze here too with honey, pineapple sauce, dry mustard, and cloves. Now what my wife and my mother both always did was they would pin pineapple rings to the outside of the ham.
Yeah, for looks,
yeah.
But they're also tasty.
Yeah.
After they've been smoked, they dry out a little bit and they're cut them up in little pieces and serve them as a side.
Now, if you're throwing it in the smoker, I don't know that I would do that. I might do it when I start mopping it for the last half hour or so, because you don't want real smoky pineapple.
What about the cloves? Don't you stick the cloves in
My mother did that. She would take the whole clove and use it as a tack.
Yeah, yep. And then put it in the middle. Then you'd get one. You know, I was like 5 years old, and I'd get one of the cloves.
You'd get one?
Yeah, and it was like...
You didn't like that too much.
No!
And that's why they're ground up in his recipe, because they're... You know, first of all, a clove is like a peppercorn. It's going to be a little bit hard, and when you bite it, you get way too much of that flavor.
Now, did you see the look on Conrad's face as he was talking about that clove?
Brought back a bad memory.
Induced a little childhood trauma.
It did, yeah. Man.
Yep.
So there's a counselor waiting for you.
Oh.
No. We'll do it after the show.
we're good at pumping you up.
After the egg guys. Okay,
yeah, right,
sure.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
So anyway, is that a spiral cut ham? Can it be?
He says never do that.
Okay.
But that's because he's smoking it for 6 hours.
Right.
6 hours, as right. Rob would say. And he'd say it tends to want to dry out. And if it's a spiral cut, 6 hours is going to dry it. But if you're mopping it, I don't know. So yeah. I have a spiral cut.
Yeah.
I didn't read the recipe before I went and bought the ham.
Right.
And, I mean, I like spiral cut anyway. It just makes my job easier because I have to carve all the proteins
right.
in the house.
Yeah, a lot easier to serve. And grilling guy's piece of advice from this grilling guy, and I think Bob's going to be the same, that bag of glaze that you get with the ham.
Chuck it.
Yeah, the first thing you do is throw that in the trash because all it is a bunch of fructose that is not going to do anything but make your ham taste goofy. This is a much better recipe.
So back to smoking hams in college, see?
Yeah.
What we used to do...
After I dropped one on the floor so I could take it home because I was a hungry college kid.
But, you know, I think if you want to get an uncured, unsmoked ham, you know, you can go to Sobey and get one, but it's going to turn out like if you're... You got to know what you're doing.
Sure.
You got to brine it. And
right.
I'm going to tell you to inject the brine in it if you're going to do anything, because when we used to smoke them at Vandenbrink's, we had a machine with like 20 or 30 needles that come down and just punch it as it rolled around, and we brined the heck out of it.
Right.
So, and we turned out like an amazing ham.
Right, and the reason that you do that is the ham is the back hip of the hog, and it's the upper back hip. You've heard ham shank. That's the lower half. There's a picnic ham, which
I like the butt portion.
Right, the butt portion. So, but it's all lean muscle back there, and it will be dry unless it's injected with the brine.
But I believe the picnic comes off the front of the hog.
I'm not sure. I mean, that's a question for Sobey.
I know it's the lower part of the. It's beyond the muscle mass. It's the
right. It's but the I still think of, it's all back leg.
It's sort of elbow.
Because we're using
area.
Pork shoulders up. We call them pork butts, so maybe they're close, but the pork shoulder is the front.
I can't remember.
The hams are in the back.
Calling Tim Sobey.
Yeah, right. So we'll have a Sobey consultation
I'm sure most of our listeners already know, so they're laughing at us.
Right, yeah.
These guys don't even know what a picnic is.
Yeah. But at the end of the day...
Eggs. That's
when
all
you
they talk
buy
about.
One that's been prepared, and it comes already called a ham, and a lot of them are already pre-cooked, and you're really just warming them up. I mean, you could open up the package
Absolutely.
And eat it like it is.
If you remember Heavenly Ham?
Yeah.
They used to tell you just to leave it on the counter.
Yeah.
Warm up to room temperature.
Yeah.
They don't want you baking it because they got all that brown sugar baked on the outside.
Right.
You throw that thing in the oven, you're going to ruin it. I go to families all the time for these meals and this and that, and they'll have that ham in there, 350 for 8 hours, and, you know,
Yeah, shoe leather.
There's nothing appealing left.
Right.
I like it when you open up the canned ham, you know, and you get that big plop with the gelatin.
Gelatinous ham?
We used to have those when I was a kid.
Me too. Right.
That was a thing. Yeah.
That was a thing.
It must have been
came from Poland, I think.
It didn't come from a hog. I know that. It was just mystery meat in a can.
From Poland. Refugees.
Wow!
Oh, it wasn't a cat.
Come on now, we
wasn't
got
a
listeners
cat.
That might be. Yeah, you know,
wasn't a cat.
Right? Yeah. If that listener is still out there,
Boom! That cat's dead.
Hey, if your little whiny bitch is still out there, here's one for you. Here's one for you. Meow.
that's an old inside joke right there. I'm sorry if you're
new.
It was a
listener. Professor from Western.
Right, yeah.
Meow.
Bob told a story about a cat jumping on the counter, and his dad shot it when he was cooking, and we got all kinds of PETA lovers.
It was the Depression.
Right, and tree huggers.
Eating
and
their ration meat.
That's not what the grilling guys are about. We don't shoot.
I have
we don't
cats.
Shoot pets.
No,
but
I have cats. And I love them.
Yeah, I do
and they
too.
Love me.
But it was just something his dad did, and it was a great story. So, you know what? I'm sorry.
It's even a better story when you hear my mom tell it.
Yeah, right. And both of them rest their souls at pass, so that's all that matters. All right, coming up next, we're going to talk about sweet and sour green beans. Ooh, Bob.
Oh, look, Jop, the FCC's at the door.
All right, stick with us. We'll be back.
Hi, this is Jim, founder of Schmoe's Brewing Company. We're a small, family-owned brewery that serves the Grand Rapids neighborhoods. We do things a bit differently at Schmoe's, sort of old school. We make all the styles of beer true to style. That's our focus. So you want to relax and enjoy a well-made craft beer that tastes like a craft beer is supposed to taste, stop into Schmoe's. We're located in Cascade on Patterson Ave, right before the ice rink. Or check us out at schmoes.com. We're open every day but Sunday.
Hey, this is Jop from the Grilling Guys, and I want to talk to you about my favorite butcher shop. It's Sobey Meats on the northwest side of Grand Rapids on Remembrance Road. This is a custom butcher. They'll cut any piece of meat that you want, any size, any way that you can dream of to make sure that your grilling experience is perfect. Sobey Meats smokes all their own meats. They've got kielbasas and over 40 different flavors of brats. You got to try Sobey Meats on Remembrance Road. Tell them the Grilling Guys sent you.
I am a guy and I like fire.
The Grilling Guys, guys.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Grilling Guys, kind of.
Yeah.
But anyway, we've been talking about this Easter dinner that you're making today for tomorrow or you're planning or whatever, and we probably given you no ideas, but some of the
I don't know. I think they know exactly what they're going to do with their deviled eggs.
Right, yeah. Oh, we got more. But wait, there's more.
Good, we're going to need them because the thing we're going to talk about next is going to go by kind of quick, but I have not tried this. I just found it, and it looked I personally love green beans.
Yep.
And when my mother used to cook them for us, first of all, we always grew a lot of green beans.
Yeah.
And when she would get done steaming them, she would, of course, melt butter on them, and then she would drizzle a balsamic vinegar on them, and that made them just, like, pop, because her mother was French, so they did a lot of stuff like that.
Yeah.
But this recipe is kind of reminded me of that, but it took it to another level, and I'm going to do it, and I'm going to regret it, because you need French cut. So that means I'm going to French cut every green bean.
You're going to do that?
Yeah.
You mean you don't buy them frozen that way? No. You want fresh green
beans? We don't do canned and frozen stuff in our house.
Oh,
it's always
okay.
Fresh.
Only the stuff that you can and freeze.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, okay. So you do it, but it's
I don't like
the
factory
stuff that you
stuff.
Made. Yeah, right.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah. I don't trust it.
Okay.
It's like that extra
so
planet.
So for those of you that have an extra hour to French your beans,
hey,
then this recipe is for you. The rest of us are going to pull them out of the freezer in a bag. So carry on, Bob.
It's time to commune with your family.
Is it? Yes. It's a family bean cutter?
There'd be some blood in those beans.
Right, yeah. What's that? That's a fingertip.
Yeah. That was in some beef I did at Vandenbrink.
Yeah.
Anyway, green beans, French cut. It takes some brown sugar, 2 tablespoons of Old World Olive Company's rosé balsamic.
Ooh, that's good stuff. I got that.
You chop up a Vidalia, a sweet onion if you can't get a Vidalia, and you chop up some bacon. So here's what you're going to do. You're going to take that bacon and sauté it in a nice little pieces, and you're going to sauté it nice and crisp like you were talking about for your, Southwestern eggs. With the onion thrown in after that bacon gets about 2/3 of the way cooked.
Right.
Saute that. And then you're going to throw your beans in there and cook them. And you're going to start adding that little bit of brown sugar to it to however you like it.
That'll caramelize a little bit. I would imagine you get that in at the back end
so it doesn't burn and get tacky.
Then
you're going to finish them off with that balsamic.
Yeah.
And I think they're going to be absolutely fantastic. Now, you can go easier on the sugar if you're using Old World Olive Company's balsamic. the recipe I saw was just using vinegar, but I always like using old world stuff because that's all we use.
Right. Yeah, I was down there this week and picked up a new supply. We go through the butter oil like crazy at our house.
I don't use that at all anymore.
No.
My wife doesn't like it.
She doesn't, but mine does. And we cook with it a lot. I mean, if we're going to fry an egg, we put a couple dollops in there.
I like it.
Yeah. But anyway, long and short of it is that bean recipe trumps the hell out of the old cream of mushroom soup. And,
You
know, that I get so tired of that with the dirky onions on top. And
there's the 7-hour baked ham served with that. You've got me, running for the bathroom.
Right. Exactly. So that bean recipe sounds delicious. If I had a copy of the show plan, I'd probably take it home and try that as well.
I think if you check in your mailbox when you get back house, it'll be there.
It traveled to me while I traveled here.
It was Google held it up.
Right, yeah. Always somebody.
They don't like me.
Yeah, right. I get it. But anyway.
Come on, guys. Come on back.
What about dinner rolls? Do you serve dinner rolls anymore?
Yes, and my best girl does homemade Hawaiian rolls.
Oh,
and they are
man.
Splendiferous.
Yeah. Yep. I go to the bakery. My daughter-in-law's dad owns a little bakery up in Greenville, Jan Han, and we're going to dinner with them.
So that's a pretty good size bakery, actually.
Right, yeah. And but he brought me some dinner rolls.
What's it called? Han?
Yeah, H-A-A-N, Han Bakery.
Han Bakery, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It was his father started it. And bless his heart, he's passed. So Jan is the man now. His name's John, J-A-N, but I call him Jan because it rhymes. Jan.
J-A-N?
Yep.
Yeah, it's Jan.
Yeah, Jan Han.
Yeah.
Yep.
We have a guy at work. His name is the same thing. He's a Swedish fellow.
Yeah.
And everybody comes in and asks for Jan, and he just... The blood comes out of his eyeballs.
It's probably been his whole life, though, because... But anyway.
And the poor guy had a stroke.
Oh, dude.
He's only about 40 years old.
Oh,
but about the second,
because he was all stressed about how people pronounce his name.
Second or third one of those Pfizer shots, and there he goes.
I understand.
Stroking out.
I understand, but no, the dinner rolls are there. Do you like glazed carrots?
They're not bad.
I'm just not for whatever reason. I'm not a cooked carrot guy. I love them raw. Love them in salads, but when they get cooked, they get all like soft and stuff, and that's just a texture thing for me. I don't know, but you put a little maple syrup on those and glaze them, they cook them in the oven in a baking dish and then glaze them the last half hour, and they're always
baby food.
Not me. It's just not me. Yeah,
baby food.
Yeah, but you got to put really good maple syrup on them to camouflage the taste of the carrot.
You could just get a jar of Gerber's and it'd give you the same effect.
Right, and a pack of diapers.
So what did we miss on your egg? Examples.
Oh, gosh, Bob. I don't know. Do you really want to go
back
there?
I saw an Asian version.
Yeah, right.
I like me Asians.
Right. So once again, to recap, deviled eggs start with some mayo and some mustard generally, and then the eggs boiled, and then you go from there.
For mayo.
Mayo.
Do you use Duke's?
I do.
I love it.
Yep, I love me some Duke's.
Love it.
Used to be a Miracle Whip guy till I found Duke's, and now I'm a Duke's guy.
Yeah.
Yep. It's a little more money, but kind of like your eggs, it's worth it.
I was always a Hellman's guy until I found Bugs.
Right. So this Asian one I think you're going to like. Again, all this came from the internet, guys, so these are not Joppy recipes. But Asian-inspired deviled eggs, again, with the mayo and the mustard, so a little bit of sriracha. I got some of this from Old World just yesterday. Sesame oil. It's strong.
You were whining about it last time I talked about it.
But it imparts a wonderful flavor, but use it very sparingly.
Oh, look who's converted.
Yeah, use it very sparingly. A little soy sauce, grated ginger, vinegar.
So you have not made this one?
No, no.
I know, I can tell by the way you're so emphatic about sesame oil, because when I brought it up 2 weeks ago,
I like it, but it's super strong.
You fell off your chair.
You got to be careful with it. And rice vinegar.
It could go off in your hands.
and toast yourself some sesame seeds with the sesame oil. So there's a sesame overtone on these eggs, but you can look them up. Asian-inspired deviled eggs.
And if you see Big Bird when you're eating it.
Yeah. Is that 3 minutes, Conrad?
Yes, sir.
30 seconds?
Oh, we're running out of time.
Oh, man.
Quick, say something.
Right. So,
my daughter sent me a little request to do au gratin potatoes.
I don't know how to do those.
I've never done them before, but I love them. Knapp's restaurant, when they were in business, used to
Bill
have
Bill Knapp's.
Yeah,
Bill Knapp's.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah, yeah, yeah, yeah.
They had the best au gratin, which is really kind of really just like a scalloped potato with cheddar melted on top.
Ooh, but but it was always browned just the right amount, and it was almost a little crunchy. Oh, yeah, yeah.
How about creme brulee?
Oh, I love me some creme brulee.
I love creme brulee.
My buddy and your buddy, Charlie Slosher, has that nailed.
Really?
Oh, my God. He
got the torch and everything?
Yeah, the whole deal.
My wife has the torch.
And he does it for Christmas every year. I've tried it a couple times. I
bet she does.
But, I mean, he strains it through cheesecloth and stuff to make it so smooth. Oh, man, it's wonderful. It's wonderful stuff. I love it. He's got that nailed.
I've got a couple of those torches, too, and you know what they're really nice for is lighting fires.
You?
Like, I've got a grill that the igniter has been busted for 8 years. It's my tech. And I just don't want to bother tearing the thing apart to put a new ignition system in because they fry after about 5 years. So I get out my Burns-O-Matic, and I just touch it to the side. I was using these long Bics forever.
Right.
No. Right. That's where you get the Burns-O-Matic.
Right.
For that and creme brulee.
That's right.
And cigars. They're really good for cigars.
Yeah, right. Not so good for your eyebrows and nose hairs.
That was about a year ago we had that eyebrow problem. Isn't that right? Careful.
That came from the furnace guy who's supposed to know how to handle gas and flame, but you never know.
Man.
Stuff happens if you keep doing it.
So what other recipes could you do? So the Hawaiian rolls are good. Creme brulee.
What about dessert?
You know what I saw that seems to be a big thing down south for Easter?
What?
Coconut cake.
There you go.
That's a thing.
I have no idea.
My wife made it once and it was wonderful.
First of all, I don't like coconut.
She doesn't either, and she made that coconut cake and she ate half of it.
Yeah?
She changed her mind.
Yeah, it must
have
been
that good.
Must not have tasted a lot like coconut.
Well, but she's a baker, you know.
She
can bake.
That's why I have Yanhan, because I can't bake a lick. You know what I think it is? I cook by taste and sight,
right?
And baking takes recipes.
It's painful.
Yeah, I can't
you
do it. I don't have the patience.
Licking
for
that
it.
Stuff you're baking, it's just painful.
Hey, you've been listening to Grilling Guys, kind of.
We
appreciate you tuning in.
Don't go away yet. Go to thegrillingguys.com. Check that like bar out. Check out our podcast on the top side. Look for the headset. And please visit our sponsors on the right side, okay? Send them some love for Easter.
All right. Thanks for listening. We'll talk with you next week.